Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to Truth to Live By, the TV broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We're delighted that you've decided to spend the next 30 minutes with us. If you were with us last week, we started discussing or began a short series here on looking at some of the keys or essentials for spiritual growth. Today we're going to continue that study, but we're going to look at what we consider perhaps the most fundamental or essential key to spiritual maturity. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that as we seek the truth from your word, that you would open the eyes and ears of our hearts and our minds, that we may grow and be conformed to the image of Christ. May we become the people you have created us to be. May we experience life as it was meant to be experienced. And may we have a sweet time of fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're a Christian, what do you consider to be the most important tool or key that God has provided for you in terms for spiritual growth? What is the one thing that we have that we claim it to be sufficient for faith in practice? And yes, if you said it's the Bible, the Word of God, you are correct. We have in this book a compilation of 66 books written over a time span of 1,500 years by a number of different authors in different times of history from different parts of the world. And in it, we find God's entire revelation to mankind. Who we are as Christians, how we live as Christians, what we believe as Christians, why we believe it as Christians is because the scriptures have indicated these things to us. So yes, we say that the most important tool that we have, certainly we need the Holy Spirit in order to properly interpret and apply the scriptures. But without the scriptures, the role of the Holy Spirit would be a lot different than what it is. He uses the scriptures to communicate to us that which we need to grow in the Christian faith. You know, people talk about the fact that Christianity is pretty much a faith that has become somewhat irrelevant to the times in which we live. You know, Christians are outdated. The things that are written in the Bible were written 2,000 years ago, at best, in some cases, 8,000-10,000 years ago. You know, times have changed. We have evolved. We have become wiser, more intelligent, more advanced. We are, in essence, gods. And we really don't need the Christian faith, nor do we need the Bible, nor do we really need God. Well, you know, when we look at the alternative, when we look at the situation in which we live, you tell me if we have reached the proper and the right conclusion. Is the alternative to have no truth at all? Is the alternative, is it a better alternative to say that everything is relative? Is it a better alternative to deny the existence of the true God while elevating ourselves to deity? I mean, after all, when you think about people who don't claim not to believe in God, you know, you speak to an atheist and they assure you that God does not exist. Well, when you think about it, what have they just done for themselves? They have just raised themselves to the level of deity, because if they can conclude that God does not exist, then what they are saying is that they are omniscient, know all things, and as a result of knowing all things, they can determine without a doubt that God doesn't exist. So they attribute to themselves, omniscience, an attribute that belongs only to the true divine creator of the universe. So now, as we look at the decay, and as we look at the destruction, and as we look at the corruption around us, we realize not that the Bible is irrelevant, but we find and realize the true value of Scripture. Folks, I would argue, you know, I've lived in the 20th and 21st century. You know, I didn't live in the 19th, 18th, 10th, 9th, 2nd century. But I can tell you this. Based on history, not only church history, but secular history, and based on what we see in the world and in the church today, I can tell you that there's probably never been a time where the Bible has been more relevant to the condition of our society. You know, men still are sinners, and men are still in need of a Savior, and men are still needing forgiveness from God and needing to be justified and redeemed by God in order to receive the gift of eternal life. That hasn't changed. What has changed is that we as a society have shifted further and further away from God, causing the Bible to grow in relevance because of our departure from those doctrines that we held dearly as convictions, even from the time of our forefathers in this country. Now, let's look at the Scripture and let's realize why it is that the Bible is indeed the most important and fundamental tool that God has given us in order to achieve spiritual maturity. For example, the Bible, according to the Scriptures, is alive. Look at, if you have your Bibles, look at, if not, I'll read it for you. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, and look at what the author of Hebrews says concerning the Scriptures. He says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges," listen, "the thoughts and attitudes of our heart." Why is the Bible so critical for spiritual growth? Because the Bible, as the Word of God, and let me go beyond just saying the Word of God, the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible, the authoritative Word of God, is living and active. For example, haven't you noticed that when you spend time with God in the Scriptures, have you not noticed that you will read the same passage several times? Not at once. You will read this passage today, and a month later you'll read the same passage. Haven't you noticed that whenever you spend time in the Word of God reading passages that you have studied previously, they seem to be fresh and anew? You know why? Because the Bible is active and it's living. The interpretation, the meaning of the passage doesn't change, but the application does. There are other passages that we can look at. In 1 Peter, for example, in chapter 1 and verse 23, listen to what Peter says. Peter says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." Once again, and Peter is not the author of Hebrews, but Peter agrees, or the author of Hebrews agrees with Peter, that the Word of God is living, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is enduring because it is the Word of God. There's another passage we can look at here, and that is in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Listen to what Paul said here. "Therefore," I'm sorry, verse 16, "as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing." Listen to what he calls, listen to the title he gives to the Bible, the Word of Life. Why? Because it is living and active and enduring. The Bible, listen, the Bible is perennially fresh. In every generation, in every age. Listen, the Bible was not more relevant then than it is today, and it will not be more relevant tomorrow than it is today, or vice versa. The Bible is always fresh in every generation of every age. The Bible proves itself to be alive and relevant. Listen, the riches of Scripture, the Bible, is inexhaustible. Its depths are unfathomable. It lives because it is up to date. You know why we say that the Bible is up to date? Because God wrote it. Yes, He used humans to pen the words, but ultimately the author of Scripture is the Holy Spirit. He superintended the writers to ensure that what God wanted to say is what was written. And listen, why is it relevant? Because God wrote it, and God knows all things, and nothing ever catches God by surprise, and the times don't change for God. In fact, God doesn't even live in a time-space continuum like we do. He knows the future and the present and the past all as one big present. He lives in one big present. That is why the Bible is up to date and fresh. Listen, do you remember some of the books that you used when you were in high school or middle school or even in college or in graduate school? I know for a fact that when I went to college, I would buy a textbook for a particular class. I would pay a fortune for that textbook. And of course, when I go to sell it back to the school, I get, nothing. But anyway, at best, that book would be sold maybe once or twice more. After that, it would, in essence, be taken out of circulation. Why? Because the information in that textbook, even though it's just 2 or 3 years old, is outdated. There had been new discoveries and new inventions and new technologies that have taken a book that was written but 2 or 3 years ago and have made it completely irrelevant. Well, that is not the case according to these three passages we looked at. That is not the case with the Word of God. The Word of God is never outdated. Nothing will ever be written that will supersede or diminish what the Scriptures already teach. That's why those who cling, listen, to sin don't read it. They don't want to be convicted. You know why they're convicted? Because according to Hebrews 4:12, like we read, it discerns the human heart. It reveals to us exactly what we are. And you know what? There's no greater tool in the arsenal of God than the Word of God in order to demonstrate to us who we are and what our needs are and who God is and why we need to have a personal relationship. Second of all, and we read this passage a little bit earlier, but we're going to look at it again. Another reason why we know that the Bible is the Word of God and it's the most important tool we have in order to grow into the people that God has called us to be. It is because the Bible, listen, not only is the Bible alive, but it gives life. Did you hear that? The Bible gives life. Let's look again at 1 Peter chapter 1 and read that passage once again. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says. For you have been born again. Listen, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Listen, you were born again because of the Word of God. Not only is the Bible alive, but the Bible gives life. Another passage that we can look at that would support this particular statement and teaching is found in the Gospel according to John in chapter 6. And listen to what John said in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse, I think I, let's see. Let's look at, I think I wrote down the wrong reference number here. Let me take you to another passage here in James. If I think of the John passage, we'll go back to John chapter 6. I know it is in John chapter 6. But if we go back to James, listen to what James said in chapter 1, verse 18. James said, listen, he chose to give us birth. Listen, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. You see what James is saying? He's saying the same thing Peter said. And he says the same thing Jesus said. And he says the same thing Paul said. And he says the same thing everything all of Scripture says regarding the importance of the Word of God in the life, not only of the Christian, but in the life of the unbeliever. Because God uses His Word, which is alive, to bring life in a dead individual. And you know who's dead? Anybody who doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, according to the Word of God, that is living, sharper, and enduring, and alive, according to the Word of God. Anybody who is not in a personal relationship with Jesus, who has not repented of their sins and sought forgiveness by placing their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is spiritually dead. And God uses the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God to bring about the new birth in the life of individuals. Thirdly, not only is the Bible alive, not only does the Bible give life, but the Bible sustains spiritual life. See the progression here? The Bible is alive, the Bible gives life, and the Bible sustains life. If you look at a passage here with me, 1 Peter chapter 1, I mean 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Listen to what Peter said. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. What's he talking about? What's that spiritual milk he's talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. He says, listen, as newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. What is the implication Peter makes in this verse? Not only does he clearly state that the Bible is essential for spiritual growth, but he also implies that without a daily intake of God's Word, you will not grow and become the person that you need to become. Another passage that we can look at that teaches this is 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Listen to what Paul says. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Listen. How did we grow up and how were we brought up in the truths of the faith? By the teaching of the Word of God, by the doctrines that are found in the Word of God. There is a passage also in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 15 verse 16. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. What did Jeremiah say? Jeremiah understood that for him to experience life in God and life in general as it was meant to be lived, for him to go from infancy to spiritual maturity, he needed to eat the words of God. In other words, take the words of God and incorporate them into his life, believe them, accept them, and practice them. Listen, Thomas Watson once said, Scripture is both the breeder and feeder of life. By it we are spiritually born, and by it we are nourished to maturity. Here's the point. No Bible, we experience malnutrition. Scripture for the believer, spiritually, Scripture nourishes us. It takes us from the milk stage to the solid food stage. Another thing that we have here is not only that is it alive, not only does it give life, not only does it sustain life, but it transforms lives. Folks, I want to take you to a couple of other passages. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Listen to what Paul says. 4:23. To be, I'll read it in context, so I'll read 24. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. What is Paul saying? What is that that causes us to be made new in the attitude of our minds? It is the Word of God according to the Word of God. In Romans chapter 12, a very well-known passage to those who spend time in the Word. You remember that Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, he said, listen, be joyful, I'm sorry, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, listen, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is that that transforms the life of the individual who's touched by the Scriptures, the Word of God? I'll look at one more passage here dealing with this particular issue of a transformed life in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I like to look at the passages of Scripture because I don't want people to think that I'm just coming up with fancy statements or philosophies that I want you to believe. If what I say contradicts the Scripture, don't listen to me. But I want you to listen to what the Scripture says, and what I'm telling you is what the Scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Listen to what Paul says. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Listen, not only is the Word of God alive, not only does the Word of God give life, not only does the Word of God sustain life, but it transforms lives as well. Listen, it is the master key to spiritual growth. If you are seeking to grow up in your faith, yet are neglecting your continual, consistent intake from the Word of God, you will not get there. You will become the most frustrated Christian in the world. In fact, if you don't have even the proper view of what Scripture is, then you may not even be a Christian to start with, regardless of what you think or say. Listen, the last point I want to make here, because this is actually going to turn into a two-week lesson. Spiritual maturity requires, listen, commitment. Now, wait a minute. I know you've got teachers and preachers on TV and radio and evangelists out there saying that the Christian life is a life in which when we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus, all we have to do is experience some phenomenon or something that somehow causes us to reach the point where we believe we've grown. That's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches us that maturity comes after a lifetime of seeking Jesus. The scripture says that maturity comes after a lifetime of spending time in the Word of God. The scripture teaches us that maturity comes after a lifetime of cultivating disciplines like worship and prayer and fellowship. Don't shortchange yourself by believing that somehow you will grow in the faith and become the man or woman of God by doing something other than spending and cultivating your relationship through the study of God's revealed Word. Listen, I want to look at one last passage here before we have to go, and that is in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Listen to what Paul says. Paul said, brothers, I do not consider, I said this last week, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What is Paul saying? Oh, I'm just going to pray this prayer and I'm just going to speak in these tongues and I'm just going to do these few things that are going to bring me into a deeper relationship with God. No, this is what Paul is. This is what the greatest Christian of all time said. I am going to make a commitment to forget everything that is behind me and to press toward the goal, towards the calling to which God has called me. I am going to consciously focus and strategize my life around growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. There is no shortcut, believer. There is no shortcut to spiritual maturity. Do you want to grow into faith? Start spending some quality time in the Word of God, because not only is it alive, not only does it give life, not only does it sustain spiritual life, but it transforms your life. That is what the Spirit of God uses to change you forever. Well, we're going to have to stop our lesson today. We'll pick up and continue this particular lesson next week. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. May we live and accept by faith and believe that which you have revealed to us in the scriptures. We love you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and your Son, the Lord Jesus. And above all, for your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen.